This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Right now is one of the most important times in the 26-year history of Joy. Times are tough financially, but that will never stop us from delivering powerful, meaningful, and uplifting radio for you. To get ready for the future, we're launching Joy Nation, and we need your support to do it. So help Joy by asking your workmates, your next-door neighbour, your mum, your dad, your siblings, and of course your friends. Go to joy.org.au and make a donation to build Joy Nation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
A unique mix of world news and queer culture. Saturday Magazine. Every Saturday, 10 till 12 on Joy 94.9.
If you've just tuned in, you are listening to Saturday Magazine with myself, Tass, and of course, Macca.
Thank you, Tass. Look, our next guest, and sorry, we've been a little bit delayed in putting this person up.
It was just such a great opportunity to hear from the AG, don't you think, Macca?
Yeah, the Victorian Attorney General, Jacqueline Symes, wasn't able to speak to us a bit earlier. She then rang in and said, look, I can talk now. So thank you for that, attorney. Marion Maddox is the Professor of School of Social Sciences, Macquarie Uni. My apologies, Marion, for delaying you. But look, thank you for joining us. We wanted to talk about why the Australian Christian Lobby wages such a culture war over LGBTIQ issues. Why do they?
Why do they hate us?
Well, look, it's a really interesting question. They say that they are concerned about questions of concern to the Christian community, but we know that there are many LGBTQ plus Christians. Mm. So it's obviously not a universal concern to the Christian community. In fact, we know that most Christians voted yes on marriage equality. So it's a sort of a niche issue that the Australian Christian Lobby has chosen as their hill to die on. I think the best way to understand it is that they say that they are on a mission to change the culture. They want to, they say that they're engaged in what many people call a culture war, and they see gender and sexuality as central to the way that they want to push the culture towards a more kind of structured and binary understanding of the world, not just in sexual terms, but in all sorts of terms. They see the world very strictly in terms of hierarchical binaries, male, female, but also good and evil, God and human, sin and grace, fall and redemption. It's a very structured kind of worldview. And it's also, let's not forget that the culture war goes along with a broader political agenda. So we don't really know who funds the Australian Christian Lobby.
I find this very, very interesting, because when you jump on their website, they talk about protecting the Christian faith. Now, I would have thought that part of the Christian faith meant respecting everybody in our community and acknowledging that we all are, as Macca would often say, God's work.
We are all God's work.
I mean, you know, we weren't created by the devil. We're actually created by God, if you actually take that line seriously, directly and literally. So why is it? I still don't understand why it is that they actually don't like us.
Well, I guess, you know, you'd have to ask them. but they would say it's not that they don't like LGBTQ people. It's that they have these lines about love the sinner and hate the sin and all that kind of thing. Look, I have spent hours to write the piece that I wrote. I spent hours listening to Australian Christian Lobby webcasts and YouTube videos and so on. And look, really what it comes down to on my interpretation is a sort of deep-seated fear of the way that our culture is going, that too much has been shifted in the direction of the liberal, progressive, secular worldview, and they want to crunch things back to a world where the kind of views that they represent were in control. And so it's about a kind of a sense of that structured world in which everything is more predictable and the forces that they feel aligned with are in control. And like the thing that struck me watching many hours of ACL podcasts was that it's a whole big picture, and gender and sexuality is the kind of the key or the kind of the way in to this system where if you take that piece out, everything else will crumble and fall apart. And so there are podcasts saying that the US election was stolen. There are podcasts saying that Kamala Harris has been involved in some strange conspiracy involving selling baby body parts in America, in California, when she was Attorney General in Canada, in California, I beg your pardon. And
it's getting a bit nutty, isn't it?
The World Economic Forum, you might be surprised to know, of global corporate CEOs is trying to institute global communism. You know, it's this.
I always thought, you know, that this is about black helicopters, about international, insert word, conspiracies. The thing that disturbs me is, you know, and you touched on that, that I think the Australian Christian lobby actually need a circuit breaker, because, you know, they are possessed by the thought of sex. Sex, everything seems to come back to this, but I look at the history of the Australian Christian lobby and previous leaders of it who've been spectacularly unsuccessful electorally. Australian Christian lobby makes a lot of noise, right?
Yeah.
It's able to raise a lot of money. It's in the way that it conducts its lobbying, you know, they do it in a particular way that they think works. But I've got to say, let's look at two big campaigns they've run. Marriage equality.
Yeah.
And their campaign against the conversion practices. Sorry, in favour of them continuing.
Yeah.
There is one word that describes how that's worked for them. Failure.
Yeah.
Failure, big time. If their KPI was winning campaigns, their CEO would be down at Centrelink.
Yeah. Look, I think you're spot on there, and that is part of that, what I was getting back to before, that they feel like the world is moving away from them.
Yeah.
And gender and sexuality are where they've chosen to kind of stick their stake in the ground to say, here and no further. The world is moving in a way we don't understand and don't like, and this is where maybe they feel that that's their kind of arm into the fears and concerns of what they think of middle Australia, but plainly not, because so many of those people know someone who's gay or lesbian or transgender or have a family member or, you know, love somebody or just can see an argument for fairness and won't go there with them. So, as you say, their success rate is a big fail.
They wouldn't, you know... you know, pretty much their vote, you know, when the previous CEO of the Australian Christian Lobby, whose name escapes me and I don't need to remember it.
Lyle Shelton.
When he stood for the Australian Conservatives, he almost lost his deposit.
And he'd previously been an unsuccessful candidate for the National Party in Queensland before he was working for the Australian Christian Lobby.
Yeah.
And, their electoral success rate is when they have also tried directly to influence marginal seat campaigns has not been very high. And so as electoral campaigners, you'd have to say they're not very successful. What they have been very successful at is seizing the sort of public voice area. Yeah. And like for several elections running, they managed to get both the Prime Minister and successive Prime Ministers and leaders of the opposition along to their Make It Count forums. They managed to create the impression of a public groundswell of opinion in along the lines that they try to promote. And they, I think they have from time to time spooked, particularly, I have to say, the Labor opposition into thinking that there's this religious vote that's going to be scared off if Labor were to take a more...
Well, this is the other thing that's really interesting about the Marion, is that they are not really a very transparent organisation. We don't know who's on their board. We don't know who their donors are. We only see their front face, who's, I forget the name of the current CEO. So what's all that about? How can you take an organisation seriously in public discourse around public policy issues when you don't know who you're dealing with?
Yes, and another interesting thing about them is although they are a Canberra-based lobby, they're not actually on the parliamentary register of parliamentary lobby groups because religious groups are exempt. So that's another area of sort of anonymity. Their board used to be public until 2017, and then they said that they had to go anonymous because of threats that they said had been made against their board members. So now their board members are anonymous and their board members are the ones that make policy. So they have, they say 175,000 members, which I think means sort of private individual donors, but those people don't have any say in policy.
But it might so be clicks onto their Facebook size.
They're a bit like the Pedestrian Council of Australia, like self-electing, self-perpetuating, you know, you get no say, you give them the money and they go off. I mean, we shouldn't underestimate the power that they have because they engage in debate and they get airtime, the fact that we're talking about them. But you know,
it's true. And one thing we do know about their donors is when those donors out themselves. And so what little we know about where the large sums come from is that they have quite often come from mining aligned money. And so to me, that is quite interesting because although the ACL says that it is rigorously non-partisan, and they've had this line for a very long time, they have also spent an enormous amount of energy waging quite pointed attacks on the Greens and on the ALP, but especially on, like, they really viscerally attack the Australian Greens. And they say that climate change is cultural Marxist rubbish and that God would never allow the climate to be adversely affected by human activity because humans were put here to rule and reign on the earth. So I think there is actually, although their kind of front-facing activity is, as you say, disproportionately, extraordinarily heftily directed at issues of gender and sexuality, they are also waging campaigns about climate and in favour of fossil fuel interests that are kind of a bit more subterranean.
Well, perhaps I might. I'll call it. Perhaps you won't. Perhaps we call it the Australian Coal Lobby. Well, after all, coal was God's work.
Well, you know, I haven't heard this argument from the ACL, but I have heard it from other conservative Christian organisations to say that it's because God put coal there, it's blasphemous for us not to use it, not to burn it.
No. And,
well, you can make the same argument about marijuana, can't you?
Yeah. Well, you could.
Well, earlier on we did speak with a young Daniel Comensoli and we decided that perhaps the ACL should be rebadged as the Australian Comensoli Lobby.
I supervise Daniel Comensoli's master's thesis. I'm so glad to hear you talk to him. He's lovely, isn't he?
He's gorgeous. He's absolutely lovely. Gorgeous, yeah.
Look, Marion, if I'm sure that you've been on the receiving end of some interesting emails or tweets, when you talk about this issue, what should we all perhaps apply to join the Australian Christian Lobby, Tess?
I don't know.
And ask. I tried once to join the Pedestrian Council of Australia, which is led by a person who perhaps has nothing else to do with his time. But I wasn't allowed to join.
Because you're a moto lobbyist?
Well, I don't know. But so I think perhaps we should all change. Can we put in a joint application, Marion? Can we see if they'll let us join?
You can try.
And we get a vote?
You don't get a vote, you see. It doesn't matter how much you join, you don't get a vote.
So how much do I have to give?
But I'm not sure that you really do want to join Macro. I mean, it's a conspiracy theory stuff that's a bit weird.
Oh, I love a good conspiracy.
Oh, yeah.
The Australian Conspiracy Lobby. You know, like... What do you reckon? I'll let you know how I go, Maren.
You can give it a try, but the thing is, you'll just be adding to the numbers that they can claim are members, but you won't actually have any say in the running of the organisation because that's how it works. It's the unelected board that runs organisation.
I'll ask them how much a board seat is.
Well, the board chooses the board. And they can reject, I believe this is right, I'd have to go back and check, but I believe that they can just reject applications without having to give a reason. I think that's correct.
Oh, well.
But
I might do it for a bit of sport anyway.
You can give it a go.
I don't know what to say about this. I didn't realise it was quite so borderline, to be honest.
Australian cult.
Look, I think one of the great things about it is that it, like, 5 or 10 years ago, I felt like the ACL had the media space a bit spooked.
Yes.
Whereas now I feel like, partly through the scholarship of very good scholars like Daniel Comensoli and other people who've worked in the area, and another student I supervised, Mairead Shanahan, who did very good work in this area, people are starting to kind of see through this and realise that the ACL doesn't speak for churches. It's not a peak body of churches. It's an interest group of people who happen to think the same way and sign up to put their name on the dotted line.
I agree.
And it doesn't make policy based on the views of its members. It just makes policy based on what the board happens to think at the time that it produces a statement, or what Martin Iles happens to think at the time that he's issuing a YouTube video.
Yeah. I reckon if the favoured son of their God, Jesus Christ, came back, he'd be denied membership or a board seat. Be too progressive.
Well, you'd have to wonder, wouldn't you? I mean, the things that the ACL gets very hyped up about are things like Jesus is not recorded as ever having mentioned sexuality as a concern in his entire ministry on earth. When did he mention homosexuality or sexuality issues? We have no mention of it at all. And when a transgender issue is mentioned in the Bible, well, nah. But as there's a very wonderful Melbourne-based scholar, Robin Whittaker, she points out that actually in the Bible there's a, when sexuality is mentioned, there's a broad spectrum. It's not, as Martin Iles from the ACL loves to say, he loves to say that there's just male and female and that's it. Well, not if you read the Bible carefully. There's an entire spectrum. So their stance in relation to Christian tradition is very niche, you'd have to say.
Yeah,
certainly is. Marion, look, thank you very much for your time this morning. It's been really interesting discussion. I think that we need to explore this a bit more in the future, Macca. We need to actually try to take the lid off and have a bit more of a look.
No, I want to ask them how much a board seat is.
Yeah, well, you can do that. Why don't you do that, Macca, and then report back to us?
I will, and I'll let you know, Marion.
Thanks. I look forward to hearing about it.
Marion, thank you for your time. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, and thank you for taking time out to speak with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Saturday Magazine, every Saturday from 10 until noon on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.